In the top acting awards at the Oscars, Helen Mirren won for playing Queen Elizabeth, Forrest Whitaker for his portrayal of Ugandan dictator Idi Amin. This is a biopic trend, and NPR's Nihar Patel has been trying to figure out why.
Over the last few years, real actors have been winning fake gold Oscar statues for doing amazing impersonations of real people. In 2003, there was Charlize Theron as serial killer Eileen Wuornos.
I'm not a bad person. I'm a real good person, right?
In 2004, it was Jamie Foxx as Ray Charles.
If all of y'all want me to keep playing, let me hear you say amen.
And remember last year, Philip Seymour Hoffman as Truman Capote?
Never mind that. Let's go around the table and you can all tell me whom you're having affairs with.
Oh, wait a second. That clip was from another recent Truman Capote biopic. But you get the idea. Nicole Kidman is Virginia Woolf, Reese Witherspoon is June Carter Cash, Kate Blanchett is Katharine Hepburn. So to get to the bottom of this, I turned to James Lipton, host of Bravo's Inside the Actors Studio. Is this something you've noticed, or am I completely crazy here?
You may be right, but I haven't noticed it.
Okay, well, maybe some numbers will prove my sanity. In this decade alone, we've already had 12 Oscars awarded to actors for playing real historical figures.
Well, there were real-life figures on film in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s. I mean, Paul Muni played real people in the 1930s. There were biopics then, perhaps more than there are now.
James Lipton is right. Paul Muni did win an Oscar for playing that master of microbiology, Louis Pasteur. I mean, who could ever forget Muni's politically charged acceptance speech?
And I hope everyone here will switch to pasteurized milk. Thank you. Thank you.
But still, no other single decade matches this one.
The Academy likes to see people acting.
Yeah, I know that seems obvious, but LA Weekly film critic Scott Fondas is trying to say that Oscar voters favor larger-than-life performances.
You don't often have people winning for really interior kind of roles. I mean, people win Oscars if they play drunks or schizophrenics or people who are dying or real people.
Scott Fondas says there's probably no single reason why real people have made for Oscar-worthy performances, but there is the simple fact that there are just more of these kind of roles. Faced with declining audience numbers, bigger budgets, and higher star salaries, Hollywood studios are more risk-averse than ever. And remakes, adaptations of TV shows, and biopics already have built-in name recognition.
Anything where, a producer or a studio head can sort of say, well, people will know something about this film, and it will connect with them on some level, makes that movie that much more likely to get made.
And in Hollywood, as well as pretty much everywhere else in the world, success can be a self-fulfilling prophecy.
If biopics seem to be popular with the audience or with the Oscar voters, then there'll be more of them, and when it seems to reach a saturation point, it'll die off for a while, and then it will come back again.
So let's check back again with James Lipton. I ask you, sir, if actors have been playing real people for decades, has anything really changed?
In the 1930s and 40s, those people were required to play essentially the same thing every single time. Cary Grant was always Cary Grant, and he did a movie called The Heart is a Lonely Hunter, and never did anything like that again. The public, were revulsed. Nobody went to see the movie, and the studio said, now go back to playing Cary Grant.
In other words, the same actress who starred in a softcore Roman orgy film can go on to win an Oscar for playing Queen Elizabeth II. And when she stands on that stage to thank the Academy, the producers, her agent, her co-stars, the dog groomer, the valet guy outside, she doesn't forget one other person, one very real person.
If it wasn't for her, I most certainly would not be here. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the Queen.
Nihar Patel, NPR News.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, you've got to do this. If you've ever seen James Lipton's TV show, you know he ends it by asking the same 10 questions to all guests to try to get them to open up. On our website, you can hear him answer a new questionnaire created by the day-to-day staff. So that's at npr.org.